Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
The book of Daniel, story of a teenager that had moxie, if I can use that word. I mean, a teenager willing to stand for God. Do we need Daniels in the world in which we live? How many people in a foreign land, a strange world, because we're born again and citizens of a heavenly country, that heavenly city, and we're walking this earth as pilgrims, and we don't really belong here, not after you get born again. One day you're going to be rescued. You'll be raptured out of this earth by way of the rapture when the trumpet sounds and Jesus takes his church out of this world. And if you die before that, you're rescued there as well, because you'll just go the way of Adam, but you're born again. You're going to be ushered into the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a tremendous promise. But we're here in this world, and we're to be men and women of God. And I was thinking about that this week. God give us broad-shouldered, strong-walking men in the world in which we live, men of God. Give us women that are pure and know what it is to be ladylike and real and have strong Bible convictions and live for God. This world, the culture in which we are living, is starving for that. I heard a preacher say this just recently. I amen loud. It's something I wholeheartedly agree with. There is a plague of feminism in the pulpits of America. It's all over. And it's not only in the pulpits, it's in the pew as well. They're just kind of reflecting what's going on. One kind of feeds off of the other. I kid you not, this isn't my message. I want to get to Daniel, but I was in Walmart yesterday. Chris, it was in Walmart, and I saw a man carrying a purse. And he actually looked like he was kind of manly, but it was a purse, and he carried it like a purse. And then I watched, and he walked like it would be somebody that would be carrying a purse. And I thought to myself, what is this? What is this? What is this world coming to? And again, last days in which we're living, there is a plague. I'm talking about among men of feminism. Man, I wanted to walk up to him and throw some Old Spice on him. I heard a preacher say that 2 weeks ago. I thought, man, I like that. That's good. You know, we need men of God, and we need women of God. And we're going to look at Daniel, and just a little bit of background here. Verse 1 says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. It was a one-year siege. 1 year, God took the Babylonian Empire, the superpower of the world in that day, and Israel was no longer the superpower because Israel strayed from God. But now Babylon is the superpower of the world militarily and culturally. And they besieged the city of Jerusalem to overrun it. And it took them a year to overrun it. It was a siege and led the children of Israel into captivity. That again is a result of not following God. I want to say this. Had Israel followed God, Israel would never have known want. Israel would have known the full blessing of God every day of this Old Testament life. The truth is, if the New Testament Christian will follow God and obey God, you'll never have to be taken into captivity. You'll never know what it is to know the hand of God, the hand of correction, at least to that level. And you will know the good blessings of God if you will just follow him. Israel was led into captivity. Daniel and his friends were taken 800 miles, probably in chains, knowing the Babylonians, to a strange and foreign land. When Daniel was taken from Jerusalem and led to Babylon, when he looked back over his shoulder at the city of Jerusalem, his home, that was the last time he was to see it. He was never to return to the land of Israel. The book of Daniel encompasses about 70 years. We know that Daniel was an old man by the time he got to chapter 12. I'm going to preach a series of messages out of the book of Daniel over the next several, maybe as much as six. I don't know that for sure. Sunday mornings here in at Fundamental Baptist Church. And it'll be all, of course, out of the book of Daniel. You're going to read and hear battles that were preached and miracles by the hand of God and angels battling and warring, the angelic warfare that's going on, and then again detailed end time Bible prophecies, all here in these 12 chapters of the book of Daniel. But this message this morning is just to kind of introduce you a little bit to Daniel himself, a young man, a teenager with moxie. He stood for God. He didn't need peers standing with him. He had some backbone. He had something to him. He had a walk with Jehovah God that was real. He didn't need the culture to stand with him. He refused the king's wine. He refused the king's meats and dainties and all that delicacies. That's what's spoken of there by the meats. He refused all of that, and he stood for God. He stood for God when he stood alone. He stood for God when some of his peers, also taken from Israel, stood with him as well. And you know some of the stories. And we're going to preach through some of that. But Daniel was a young man that was a man of God. We need that today. And our preachers' fellowships around the state of Michigan, I want to encourage you in this way. It isn't just old men that are pastoring independent Baptist churches. There are a lot of young men. Now, I look at them as young men. Now, the danger of that is I'm 61. So I see a 30-year-old, that's a young man, you know. And of course, somebody that's 29 or, you know, or 30, they don't think of themselves as a young man. So it's a little bit relative. But there, I know of six young men pastoring independent Baptist churches, fundamentalists in northern Michigan, that have close fellowship with us. In fact, they're involved in the camp, and God bless them, and I'm so glad for them. But I got to thinking at the last preacher's fellowship, and then when you go statewide, I know a lot of young pastors in their 30s in Michigan standing for the truth, standing for what's right, standing for righteousness, and God bless them. But I don't know a lot of 20-year-olds. And I'm thinking, man, did we skip a decade there? It's going to be a new emphasis at Fundamental Baptist Church. Young men, if you're called to preach, don't you waver. Don't you go into business. Don't you be about making money. Don't you go that direction. If you're called to preach, man, you do the king's business. You honor God. And I'll help you along the way. These men will help you along the way. And we'll hold your hand if we have to. We'll put you up. We'll hold you up if we have to. But stand for God. Teenager, Daniel was a teenager in what we are reading right here. Verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, obviously the gold there as well, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, false God. And he brought the vessels unto the treasure house of his God. Again, the Babylonians were a pagan people. They did not worship Jehovah God. But God sometimes uses pagan people to get the attention of his people. Verse 3 says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. And this was the way the Assyrians worked, the Chaldeans worked. They conquered a city, they'd conquer a people, and then they would recruit the best young people out of that culture. They would bring them back as prisoners to the land of Babylon, and they would proceed to indoctrinate them. And they would, because they were bright, because they were promising young people and they chose them carefully, they would indoctrinate them and teach them the ways of Babylon and to worship their false gods. But in spite of being attempting to indoctrinate Daniel and his three young Hebrew friends here, they refused to buckle under. Let's read on here. Verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. They're going to indoctrinate them. And the king appointed, by the way, if you don't have this determination in your heart to stand for God, if you're just going to go along and get along, you will be indoctrinated by the world. Daniel refused. He said, I'm not going to dress like you. I'm not going to talk like you. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor Jehovah. I'm not going to eat like you. I'm not going to drink like you. I know who I worship. I know who I'm going to honor. He was just absolutely, that's kind of a different kind of teenager, isn't it? That's a teenager that, you know what, whatever the fad is, whatever the party is that's going on, doesn't matter. They stand for God. I like to say Daniel had moxie. It's not in the Bible. It's not a Greek word. I'd like to tell you it's a Hebrew word, but it's not. Verse 5 says, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. Before I read the rest of that verse, Daniel had standing. He stood. He was willing to stand alone. I have a standing in Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians in chapter 1. We take just a moment to do this. Ephesians in chapter 1. Just a few verses here I'd like to look at. Before I read these verses, let me say this. God, who needs nothing, wants me. Figure that one out. God, who is holy and perfect and sinless, God, who is in need of nobody, chose me. Figure that out. In Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, I'm blessed, with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I am in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, I'm chosen, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, I'm accepted, in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I am forgiven. Figure that out. God doesn't need Tim Rader. God doesn't need you. I could have just went to hell. That's what I deserve. But he willed it within himself. He chose me. He's forgiven me. He loves me. I am accepted. Man, I don't deserve any of that. I quoted it this morning in Sunday school. Sometimes it's the simplest verses, and there's so much doctrine there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's my standing. I'm in Christ. Old Testament Daniel said, I'm a child of Jehovah. I put my trust in the coming Messiah, Jesus, the one who is promised to us, the one who is coming. He turns out to be, Daniel, because he's faithful to God, ends up being a prophet of God. He said, I know I'm just a teenager, and that's a big bad Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, and he actually outlived several kings in three different empires, into three different empires. How did he continue like that? He was a teenager with moxie. He knew his standing. You know who you are as a child of God? Do you know what you have as a child of God? Quit wanting what the world is giving. Quit drinking from that poisoned well and get back to the Word of God. Verse 5 says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was such a big shot. He said, I want you to take those young men that you brought back from Israel, and I want you to feed them from my table for 3 years, so they look good, so they're fattened up, so they're muscled, so they're ready to stand in my presence. Daniel said to the head of the eunuchs that was before him, I'm not going to eat that meat. I'm not going to drink that wine. That's not me. And by the way, and they give them new names. I'm going to summarize some of this because I took a little longer in the introduction. Although the king gave them Babylonian names, it did not change their heart. They honored God. Daniel means God is my judge. He knew he served one God, Jehovah. There was a fear of God in Daniel's life. He feared the judgment of God. He was experiencing some of the judgment of God. His name meant, God is my judge. They changed it to Belteshazzar, which means Bel's treasurer. Big deal. False god, idol. Hananiah means, God has blessed me. And they changed that to Shadrach, which means the king's messenger. False god, false idol. Mishael means the image of God or reflecting God. Change it to Meshach, which means guest of Shack. Azariah means God has helped me. Change it to Abednego, which means servant of Nebo. All having to do with false gods. And although the king decreed that they would have a different name, the king couldn't change their heart. See, there was something different about these young men. The song that we sang this morning, "The Boys Wouldn't Bow," that's later on in the book of Daniel. I'll preach that. Remember, they're thrown into the fiery furnace. The king says, hey, I don't want you guys to burn. You change your mind right now, and I won't throw you in the fiery furnace. And their response was, oh, no, we serve the living God. If God chooses to spare us the fires of the fiery furnace, so be it. But if not, we're good with that too. We're not going to bow down to idols. Just a different kind of young men. Young man, young woman. Maybe God has called you to something. Why don't you quit compromising? There's nothing there. You don't want a life of regrets. You'll never regret following God. You'll never regret following the scripture. You will never, when you get to the end of your life, you won't say, I wish I had, or I wish I did. You know, that won't be part of your vocabulary. Let's read on here. The struggle. He appointed them what to eat. Verse 6 says, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now what he's going to end up eating is pulse. We might get to that later on in this chapter. You say, what is pulse? Is that something you get from the Dairy Queen? Is that something that Kentucky Fried Chicken? What is pulse? It sounds good. It's vegetables and water. Now, I like bacon. I love ham. I'm glad we're not called to do this, but the picture is here. He said, I'll not eat of the king's table. I'll not drink the king's wine. I was warned about that. I know what the Old Testament says about it. I'll not partake of that. And he, because he found favor in the eyes of the eunuch that was watching over them, the eunuch agreed and said, okay, well, let's read it here. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Oh, by the way, the solution is this. Daniel had predetermined that he was not going to commit that sin. He didn't wait till he got in the battle. This isn't what happens. It sometimes looks like this in some of our football games, but this isn't what happens. 11 guys break the huddle, and everybody has in their own mind what they're going to do, and everybody does something different. Man, that play is going nowhere. I've seen some of the teams that Josh coaches, and they end up doing that a lot. You know, 11 guys just kind of, what in the world was that all about? That's not what they do, is it? There's a play. It's predetermined. Everybody has a position. Everybody has a job. You got the big uglies, and you got the shiny pants in the backfield. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. It's predetermined. Daniel, before he ever got to Babylon, I can see him. I'm sure he made the decision way back in Israel when things were going right, because this was a man that God had enabled, and this is a man that knows the blessing of God. I can see him in the chains being marched towards Babylon. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to worship idols. I'm not going there. I'll not bend my knee. Then the eunuch comes and says, listen, guys, you're chosen. The king wants you to, for several years, what we want you to do is we want you to eat right off the king's table. You'll eat the same food that our great king Nebuchadnezzar eats. Daniel said, no, I won't. He had predetermined. You got to determine ahead of time you're not going to do drugs. You got to determine ahead of time you're not going to swig beer or hard liquor. You got to determine ahead of time you're not going to listen to dirty jokes or use the name of the Lord God in vain. You got to, you know, you can't go into it haphazard. You can't be that team that doesn't know what the play is. It says here in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. We read two other times in the book of Daniel that Daniel had an excellent spirit. He walked with God. This teenager with moxie, this teenager that refused to bend his knee to idolatry, that refused to partake of the king's wine, that refused to go along with the world. By the way, God blessed him every step of the way. I'll get ahead of myself here in the book of Daniel. Daniel ended up rising to the top over and over again. The next king had kind of forget about Daniel, but God had worked it out, and there it And those that hated Daniel, they tried to entrap him, but Daniel still honored God, even when he got to be an old man, and God just kept, the cream kept rising to the top. God will bless righteousness. God will bless you as a teenager if you live right, do right, and talk right. God will bless you. Don't listen to the sirens of the world. Don't listen to all the voices that are out there with false messages. It's a struggle, but the solution is reality. He's a man of conviction, a young man of courage. Verse 9, he was respected. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Man, God had given Daniel a platform because he trusted God. Look at verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Daniel challenges this idol worshiper and says, listen, just give us vegetables and water. 10 days, just see if we're not better off than what everybody else is. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. You hear what Daniel's saying? Daniel has great faith in God. Daniel says, I know that that's the way the world wants me to go, but I'm going to take the path of God. I'm going to take the path of righteousness. And you just see if God doesn't bless me. I mean, he has some moxie. He's saying, just, there's a challenge there. You just see if we're not better off. You need to do that in your life, young and old. Live for God. I want to challenge you this morning. Challenge the world, the culture that we're living in. I'm going to be different, and I'm going to know the joy of the Lord. I'm going to know the full blessing of God. I'd rather have the blessing of God than all the wealth this world has to offer. Think all the people out there that have money and they're disheartened and their families are a wreck and everything ends in tragedy and everything goes wrong. It doesn't have to be that way for the child of God. Then you don't need to go there. Verse 14 says, so he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Success. God will enable you. The Apostle Paul said, I thank God who hath enabled me, putting me in the ministry. If you'll just surrender to God, he will enable you. Man, he'll help you every step of the way. You'll have blessings that you did not ever dream you would ever partake of. I'm telling you, there'll be battles. Daniel had battles. We'll read of some of those. There'll be difficulties. There'll be struggles. But you'll know the full blessing of God. And you'll know the joy of the Lord. And he will meet your need. In fact, read on. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, so the years had gone by, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. Now here's what he does. He communes with his wise men, and he communes with these young men brought in from Israel. And he compares, I'll read it all and I'll explain it to you. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. God promoted them. Now they stand before the king. Now they are the trusted advisor of an idol-worshiping king, who, by the way, maybe got saved as we read through the book of Daniel. He had great influence. Verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians or the diviners and all the astrologers that were in all his realm. These are the necromancers and the enchanters and the conjurers. These were at one time the trusted advisors of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were all involved in the occult. And now God had promoted, because they stood for truth, some Hebrew boys. And now they were the trusted advisors of the king. And it says here that the king communed with him. He talked with him about sciences. He talked with him about math, and he talked with him about all different education with, help me out with a good word there. Help me out with all, come on, I'm on the radio. Help me out with all kinds of smart things, right? And he found out that they were dumb. He found out that they were wise. God had blessed them. You know, I enjoyed math until they started putting letters in math. And then, you know, I just, what's the deal? I thought this in the English, this is math. And when I got to algebra, I was just completely lost. Some of us, I know there are several here that feel the same way. God blessed his children that were standing for him. Standing for truth. Standing for righteousness. Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. He was promoted. He was trusted. He knew success. Chapter 2 and verses 46. Well, we don't have time to look at that. Let's go over to Joshua real quick. We'll end with this. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua in chapter 1. Here is the key. Okay, it's the year 2018. Glory to God, the winter of 2018 is over. I don't want to dishearten anybody, but do you know there was a year? The year was 1816. That was the year of no summer in the United States of America. Did you know that? It snowed all summer long, on and off. The year of no summer. Look that up. Could it happen again? Oh, I pray not. I pray. Nobody loves the springtime like a Youper. I'm telling you, that is a fact. I heard birds singing this morning. There's still snow on the ground, but the sun is shining. It's warm. Man, it feels real warm out there right now. It's amazing. The truth is this. I don't know where I was going with that. Come back to Joshua. Joshua in chapter 1. Here's what we need. Oh, the year 2018. Here's what we need. This will help you. Anybody that's just been born again, there are several here this morning. Anybody that's walked with God for a while, maybe you've forgotten this. You need Bible. You need Scripture. Holy writ. It's the only truth. It's the only thing that won't lead you astray. It's the one thing you'll never go wrong getting up and reading your Bible in the morning. You'll never find anything in the Bible that's going to lead you astray. It'll feed your faith. You say, man, I've gone several days without it. You're in danger. Get back to the Bible. Look what it says here in Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's too many. I think maybe it's always been this way, but I'm pastoring now in 2018. There are too many in the Church of Jesus Christ that have what I call a casual Christianity. That ain't gonna happen. You gotta get to the huddle and find out what's happening. You gotta hear the play. You gotta know what your purpose is, what your job is. You gotta get strength. You can't have a casual Christianity. You gotta be directly connected to this book. Love the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thy word is a light unto my path. It's sweet as a honeycomb, the psalmist said. And you've got to love this book. Get connected with the word of God. Daniel had purpose in his heart. Daniel was a teenager with moxie. As we continue to study the book of Daniel, you're going to hear detailed prophecies concerning end time. You're going to hear about angels and the mighty warring angels of God and the spiritual battle that is going on. And some of them are named. You're going to read in the book of Daniel where you're going to hear preached miracles of God and how that applies to you and to I and how we can live New Testament Christian lives in this day and age in which we're living. But listen, it ain't going to happen apart from being connected to the Word of God. Let's bow our heads together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.